Of course, we all know that the Catholic Church sold indulgences. I believe it was in the 15th century. History wasn't my strong suit. The point being, I'm sure they made a killing off of indulgences. For those of you who are unfamiliar, that is the buying of forgiveness and the buying of your way into heaven. Why did they make a killing? Because we all sin. So I guarantee that the lesson I'm about to bring to you will touch every one of us because we all sin. So let's get to it. Go ahead and turn to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. We're going to talk about confession. Another thing that the Catholic Church believes they have they've cornered the market on confession. However, this is confessing to God. You know, there's a certain joy and relief that we all experience, those of us that are members of the church, when we obey the gospel, when we knew that our sins had been washed away, knowing that at that moment we could stand before God holy and without blame, knowing that we could walk outside the church, get hit by a car, and be in a good place because we were forgiven. That's a good feeling. A car, maybe not so much. But the feeling to know that our life could be taken at that moment and we would enter into that eternal home in heaven. But along the way, we all sin. We're all subject to temptation. We all give in to temptation from time to time. And I think what follows then is a discouragement that, you know, the baptism was such a gigantic event in our life, the most important decision we can make as people is whether we're going to follow Jesus or not. So it's a tremendous event. And then after you sin and you're living sinfully, you think, well, there's just nothing I can do now that's going to forgive me the way that baptism did. That was fantastic. Now I'm in trouble. Well, there's no reason that we can't be forgiven after that. And God is a just God, and he promises that he will forgive us if we confess our sins to him and repent. So we're going to talk about that briefly. We don't need to be subjected to baptism again and again, but we need to confess our sins to God. God is faithful and has promised to forgive us of our sins. Just as we were raised from the grave of baptism, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, so we can rise from the prayers, knowing that we have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. So you too can go home tonight and you can relive that experience. Well, don't even wait till you get home. Do it when you have a moment. Ask for forgiveness. You can experience that same joy. The key to confessing our sins, there is one. How do we do it? How do we do that effectively? There are some things that maybe we can keep in mind. That's why we're going to go over this group of verses. Hopefully this helps us. Talking about David, remember he was guilty of adultery with Bathsheba. Something, you read through the Bible, one sin stands out to me as very powerful in God's eyes, that sin of adultery. He does not mess around with those who are adulterous. So it's a serious sin, and one that certainly David felt the power of. Let's go ahead and read the first two verses. Psalms 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Note the base of David's plea for forgiveness. One, according to your loving kindness. Number two, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. David is seeking forgiveness based on God's loving kindness and tender mercies, not on his own humility, not on his own ability to seek the forgiveness of God. He's seeking it based on the love that God has. So he recognizes that God has the power in this relationship. Pardon we seek should have a basis. It's not in the merit of our worthiness. There's nothing we can do to earn the forgiveness of our sins. But it's in the goodness and grace of God. And sometimes we feel, well, maybe there should be something we can do. Because I feel like if I did something, if I punished myself somehow, that would take care of it. Well, we don't need that. And I think we should be encouraged that it's not our sacrifice that gives us forgiveness of sins. It's the love and mercy of God. So we need to seek that. As we seek washing and cleansing of our sins, not the one time when we are washed in baptism, but after the spiritual washing from that point on, we don't base our appeal on our past accomplishments. We can't say, well, you know, I've done a lot of good things. I've really done a bang up job as a Christian. I think I'm privy to some sin here and there. You know, that's a very dangerous attitude to have. And we can't just say, well, God, I sinned, but have I not done a really good job? Remember, it's also shouldn't be based on how long we've been a member of his church, but it's upon the goodness and mercy of God. Appeal to that alone. Remember, God is slow to anger and he's abounding in mercy. He wants to forgive us. Something we should try to remember. Let's look at verses 3 and 4. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. So notice how David acknowledges his sin. He tries not to hide it. He said, it's always before me. He's always thinking about it. And, you know, sometimes we do that. We sin and we can't get away from it. That's called guilt. You know, when maybe you're little and you steal something and you get this rush of adrenaline and you're excited and then all of a sudden you're just racked with guilt. Oh, I can't believe I did that. It wasn't worth it. All the joy that I thought I would get when I took this candy bar, it's not worth it. This is much more serious than that. David, in his sin of adultery, always before him, he admitted that it was a sin against God himself. What he did was terrible. It was true that he had sinned against Bathsheba, Uriah, and his own wife. David knew that he ultimately sinned against God himself. So that's what we have to remember. We're not offending. Well, we are offending those that we sin against, but we're offending to a much greater level God. We have sinned against God. So David then accepts the condemnation of God against him, that God was both just and blameless in judging him, as God did when he sent Nathan to condemn him. He knew that it was a correct condemnation. He knew God was just in doing that. So when we confess our sin, we need to appreciate that this is a key to receiving the grace of God. We need to acknowledge the sin. And while we may at times simply confess to be sinners, it never hurts to actually mention the sin for which we're seeking forgiveness. You know, sometimes we take a broad approach when we're praying to God and we say, I have a lot of sins. Father, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. And that's a good attitude to have. But I think maybe sometimes we should individually think of specific sins that we've done and call them out, confess those sins, because, you know, sometimes that makes us really accept the responsibility for that particular sin. You know, if you have, if you've talked down to somebody, if you've made them feel terrible, if you've lied to somebody, confessing that particular sin is going to maybe, number one, prevent you from doing that specific thing again, and number two, it might help you and encourage you to seek forgiveness from that particular person. Just a couple pointers there. Understand that all sin is ultimately a sin against God himself. Don't fault God, his word, or his messengers when we are exposed and condemned for our sins. You know, and I don't want that other point to be to go without being mentioned. All sin is ultimately a sin against God. Sometimes we think, well, I can sin and it's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt the person that I'm sinning so much. For instance, going back to stealing something from a store like Walmart or something, just a candy bar. They're a huge corporation. They make billions of dollars. They'll never miss this. And it's true, they won't. However, you're sinning against God when you do that. Remember that it's not Walmart you're sinning against as much as it is God. All right, let's look at verses 5 and 6. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me known witness. Until we're forgiven, we're deep in sin. David uses some hyperbole here, describes the depravity in which he finds himself. Remember, he is born with the ability to sin always. He's not trying to escape responsibility, saying he was born that way, only that he knows he is utterly sinful. So we can't tell God, look, we're sinners. You know we're sinners. You called us sinners. You shouldn't be surprised when I sin. That's the bad attitude to have. He gives us the strength to overcome temptation. Remember, God says he always makes a way of escape for us. There's no excuse for us to be sinful. God desires much more. David knew what God wanted. Truth in the inward parts, wisdom in the hidden parts. Again, this is figurative, illustrating that truth and wisdom are to be as pervasive as sin had been. We should try to be truthful and wise in even our most inward and hidden parts. David knew that God desired to provide more than just forgiveness. He also desires total restoration with understanding and wisdom on our part. God wants us to totally restore ourselves and understand why we're doing it, that we be equipped for faithful service. The reason is God doesn't want us to be sinful. He wants us to be good servants for him. We can't do a good job for God when we're sinning against God and we're in sin against God. We do our best service when we are faithful Christians. Understanding what God wants us helps us to understand what David goes on to say. All right, let's look at verses 7 through 12. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create me in a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David does more than just ask for forgiveness. He prays for forgiveness, and using more figurative language, he's asking God to purge him with hyssop, to wash him whiter than snow, to hide his face from his sins, to blot out all his iniquities. But he also sought for more. He desired joy and gladness, a new heart, a renewal and steadfast spirit, continuation of God's presence and spirit. Sometimes we think we owe it to God to be miserable when we have sinned. Even after forgiveness, we think, well, I've really done you wrong this time, Lord. I'm going to be miserable for a while as a payment to you. God's not interested, again, in our self-deprecation. He's not interested in our sacrifice. We can feel like we're allowed to ask God to restore us to our state before we sinned. We can ask God for joy again. We can ask God that, please remove, David says, hide my sins from my face. Take the burden of guilt away from me, God. I'm really extremely sorry for what I've done. I don't want to be tortured by this sin forever. And then let's look at 13 through 17. Then I will teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So David resolves then to teach others, sinners and transgressors. He resolves to praise God for his righteousness, knowing that God delights in something more than animal sacrifices. Again, God's not looking for our sacrifices here. A broken spirit and contrite heart is what really pleases God. And sometimes that's the biggest sacrifice that we can make, our broken spirit and our contrition. For proud people such as myself, I'm guilty of pride from time to time. It's a real blow to break yourself down to the level that, remember the tax collector who wouldn't even lift his face to God. That's the kind of broken spirit God wants from us. Those are the sacrifices he's looking for. Such resolution is in keeping with true repentance. God desires more than just forgiveness, but total restoration. He wants to make us whole again. And zealous service is indicative of true repentance, as taught 2 Corinthians. We don't have time for that. As we confess our sins, we should look beyond obtaining forgiveness for past sin. We should look beyond obtaining present joy and gladness of heart. We should be making commitments regarding future service. And I'll end there. And I think that's the important thing to remember is, you know, when we're asking for forgiveness of God, number one, we should be confident that he will forgive us, that he will restore us, that there's no sin so serious that he can't wash it away. I remember Paul even says, I was the chiefest of sinners, and you forgave me. So we have that forgiveness. Feel like you can come to God. The sacrifice that he's looking for is your broken spirit, and it's completely right for you to ask God to restore you, make you joyous again. Thank you. Mm-hmm.